Peter chapter number 1. It's gluten-free. Yeah, they thought of everything. I'm telling you, 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, if you're taking notes, verses 1 through 4 is a faith that knows. Verses 5, 6, and 7 is a faith that grows. And verses 8 through 11 is a faith that should show. It ought to show. So starting in verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The whole epistle is basically bringing Christians back to the basics of their faith. He is writing this letter to all Christians everywhere throughout time. It's to be a blessing to everyone. And he's calling them back to the basics, calling them back to what it is our faith is grounded upon. And Peter, a servant, he knows what his assignment is. Now, that's a cool thought. When you think about the Apostle Peter, you say, well, he was an apostle. No, every single one of us should know what our assignment is. When Jesus rose from the dead, you know, Peter was still a little disillusioned, even though Jesus appeared to him in the upper room. And then it was several days or weeks, and he hadn't seen or heard from Jesus, and he got disillusioned. He said, I go a-fishing, John chapter 21. And he toiled all night in his old life fishing. Went back to the old life, the old ways. And Jesus is on the shore, and he said, children, did you catch anything? And Peter's like, no, nothing. He said, well, throw the net on the other side. And he enclosed a whole big thing of fish, and that's when John went, hey, it's the Lord. You know, like John had presence of mind to realize, hey, buddy, that's the Lord over there. And Peter jumps in and they drag the whole net. And when they got it to the shore, Jesus already got fish and bread on the fire. Yeah. And as they're having a meal, Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these fish? And he goes, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee more than these. He said, then feed my sheep. Peter knew what his assignment was. And as servants of Jesus Christ, you need to know what your assignment is. Amen. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are people who have been changed because we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So we are following Him. Some days we're really close. Some days we're kind of lagging behind. I know that's my testimony. There are times when I'm so close to Jesus, His dust is getting on me. You know, but then there's days when I'm having a hard time seeing His footprints because I've lagged so far behind. Right? But I'm still following Him. And a follower of Jesus is being transformed from the inside out. But my assignment is to follow Him and to lead others to follow Him so they can be transformed. One of the great things about faith in Jesus Christ is our faith ought to be a faith that knows who we are in Christ and what our assignment is in Jesus Christ. Peter knew, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle. The word apostle means somebody who was sent of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith. You realize you have the same salvation Peter has. You were saved, sealed, sanctified by the same Holy Spirit that Peter was. You're born again, just as born again as Peter was. You understand that? You're going to walk on the same streets of gold Peter is right now. You understand that? You are going to, listen, you're going to see the same face of God that Peter sees right now. You are of the same caliber, of the same makeup, of the same nature that Peter is, because you're born again just like Peter is. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need a faith that knows that our righteousness is not of us, but it is of Christ Himself. Look at it. It says, obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you received the righteousness of Christ credited to you. The same righteousness. Look, Peter's no more righteous than you are because his righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. He received the same grace that you received. And because of that grace, he experienced the same peace that you have and you have access to. See, we need to get back to a faith that knows We know who we've believed. We know what our faith is depending upon, who we're clinging to. That's what Peter knew. Peter knew we should know the same. Grace and peace be multiplied. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have everything we need to walk this life and serve Christ just like Peter did. Peter did great things for God. Praise the Lord. So can you. So can you. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you're a child or an adult or a teenager. You have every opportunity to do great things for God because you are just as saved as Peter is if you know the Lord as your Savior. Look, baptism don't get you to heaven. Church membership don't get you to heaven. Catechism don't get you to heaven. Works does not save you. Rites, rituals, and ceremonies do not save you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, Christ would have never went to the cross. All right? So our trust, we're clinging to the cross of Calvary's, the blood that was shed, the blood of Christ. And because we repented, we turned from our sin and called upon Christ and believed, the righteousness of Christ has been credited to us. We are now seen as righteous by our Father, just like Peter was. He is. Listen. We sometimes forget that we have the same access they did. All right? We can serve God just like they can or they did. We can do great things just like they did because our faith is in the same God. Amen. Nothing's changed. Peter is made out of the same sinful flesh I was. I am. Do you understand? And he was saved. And look what it says. It says, according as God's divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, what's exciting to me is you and I have the completed word of God. When Peter lived and served our Savior, not all of the scripture was done yet. John hadn't finished the book of the Revelation. Some of his letters hadn't been finished yet. Peter was crucified upside down before the canon of scripture was finished, we assume, because Peter was older than John. And he died before he got to see the finished product of the canon of scripture. And you and I have it now. We have everything God wanted us to have about the knowledge of God. And it's at our fingertips. It's in our own language. But not only that, we have the same Holy Spirit inside us that Peter has. You understand that? Peter had the Holy Spirit inside him. But the Word of God that Peter had, the parts that Peter had, was just as authoritative, just as inspired, just as preserved, just as the same as we have. And he had the Word in front of him and the Holy Spirit inside him. And we have that as well. And so we are able, through the knowledge of God, who have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Do you know those promises? Our faith ought to be a faith that knows our assignment, ought to know that our dependence is upon our faith in God, not us. Ought to know that we're growing in His Word. Our faith ought to be something that we ought to know what those promises are. Because when we cling to those promises, and God has never, ever let one of those promises fail. That's what gets us through. You know, how did Peter face the crucifixion when he was crucified? By the promises Christ had given him. Christ had told him what the blessings he would have for serving him. Christ had told him all the rewards that would come and all the things he would have. And it says that by these, what? The promises, the knowledge of God, the righteousness of God. These are things that made Peter's faith deep and wide, made him strong in the faith. It was a faith that knew what it was in. It's Adrian Rogers who said it was rock-ribbed. He always used that word, rock-ribbed. You know what I mean? It was just rock solid and unshakable. By these, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, I preached this morning on how that Christ and his death on the cross freed us from the penalty of our sin. and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are freed from the power of sin. But one day Christ is going to come and remove us from the very presence of sin and take us all to heaven. And we'll be where Peter is, in the place of the fullness of joy. And our faith ought to be something. It ought to be a faith that knows. Ought to know what our faith is in, the promises, the knowledge of God. Our faith ought to be a faith that knows. But it ought to be a faith that grows. Look at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, that means to be constantly at it. Add to your faith. What is the faith? Well, the faith is that aggregate, that knowledge of God, the knowledge, salvation in Christ, plus the knowledge of God that we have, the knowledge of His righteousness, the knowledge of His promises, the knowledge of His Word, the knowledge of eternal life, the knowledge that we know that we know that we know that we know that we're never going to lose it, the knowledge of what's coming. Add to that knowledge and add to that faith virtue. Now, virtue is that character quality that basically, it's the character quality of the heart that says, when I may not know what right is, but as I learn right, I've already made the decision I'm going to do right.
Good.
Now, look at the order of things. He said, add to your faith in Christ, what? Virtue, and to virtue knowledge. See, the problem is we have a lot of educated idiots. Right? We have a lot of people who are so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. We got a lot of folks who have yet to make that heart decision that when I learn something, I'm going to put it into practice. Yeah. They know what ought to be being done. Well, I know what the Bible says, but you know. But, see, virtue, I think it's, it has not escaped me that God put virtue ahead of knowledge. That as I learn new things, I need to first make the decision that as God teaches me new things, I've already made the decision I'm going to put them into practice as I learn them. That virtue needs to be there first. Because knowledge just puffs up, makes me proud. Knowledge just makes me, you know what, win at Bible trivia, really. That's all it does. Right? Makes me proud, it's no earthly good. Why? Because I don't have the character quality of the heart that says, all right, I'm going to put it into practice because it's God's truth. It's God's word. It's God's will for me. See, God's promises are God's will for me. God's commands are God's will for me. Amen. God's character qualities are God's will for me. And as I learn these things, they are His will for me to employ into my life, to put into my life, to shape, to change my life and say, this is how I ought to be. This is how I ought to live. This is how I ought to do. But if I don't have that heart virtue that says, this is more important than what my family thinks. This is more important than what my peers think. This is more important than what society thinks. I'll never employ it in my life. See, we not only need to have a faith that knows, we need to have a faith that grows. So we need to add to our faith virtue and to that virtue knowledge. And I'm not talking just about academic knowledge. I'm talking about that intimate knowledge of God where you know Him as a person and a personality. And we add to that knowledge temperance. That is that basic self-control, knowing that even though I, now that I'm saved, I'm going to heaven and nothing can change that. And I can do what I want now, but does it please my Father? Does it please the heart of the person who loves me the most? Does it shame Him? Does it grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, then I ought to care about that. So self-control is me saying for the glory of God, for the testimony of His name, I'm going to say no to the things that are contrary to God's character. They shouldn't be once named among us as Christians. Even though I'm saved and secure and heaven bound and God's not going to take away my salvation if I sin, I'm going to say no to the things that would shame His name. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. Patience is that quietly enduring things that aren't going the way I would have them go. But you know what? We know God. The thing is, if we knew everything God knew, we would have chosen the same struggles for us as He has chosen. The problem is we can't see it from His point of view. We would have chose different things because we don't want to go through them. But if we knew everything God knew, we would have chosen the same struggles for us. I was talking to somebody tonight. I look back over my life and I see the footprints that I've walked. I had to go through those things to be able to enjoy the blessings of today, to recognize what is the blessings of God. I had to go through those struggles. I would have taken them for granted today had I not gone through the struggle. And that's patience. That's patience. And to patience, godliness. His character should be my character, His righteousness. I should embody His character. And godliness, brotherly kindness. And that's hard because my pride gets in the way, and I want it now. I want what I want right now, and I forget to be kind. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, it's interesting to me. It was pointed out to me by one of my sons that charity is that selfless love, that true embodiment of who God is. God is love. That if my faith is growing, He is molding me and conforming me and shaping me into the image of His Son. So that if my faith is growing, that as I add virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness, I should be becoming more and more like charity, be more and more like selfless love. I should be more and more like God Himself in my character, which is God's will anyway, that I be shaped, molded into the image of Christ. Romans 8, 28 and 29. So it ought to be a faith that knows and a faith that grows so that it can be a faith that shows to the world. Look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, well, they're in you the minute you trusted Christ your Savior. The opportunity for us to embody the character of Christ, the opportunity for us to live for Christ, the opportunity for God to change us into the image of Christ, that's all in there the minute you trust Christ. But if it's in you and abound, that means we have let God have us. Amen. Instead of fight Him. It's called stiff-necked in the Bible. When we bow up and go, no, I'm not going that way. You got a dog like that? Yeah. Doesn't want to go. That's stiff-necked. Are you like that? We call it stiff-neckedness. God's like, come on, I got something good for you. And you're like, no, I don't want to go. If these things be in you and abound, that means released freely to grow and go in the direction God wants it to, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we know what our faith is in, fully have swam in the depths of the assurance of God, and we've allowed it to grow, And we have given ourselves to God and not fought Him, but surrendered and trusting. How do you do that? You know He knows what's best. And you know that He wants what's best. And that He desires it. So you're letting Him. You're letting go. You're saying, yes, God, I want this. I want this to not just be in there in its potential. I want to realize it in its fullness. That's when the abounding happens. When I let God release it into my life, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You're not seeing what you're doing to your life. You're not seeing what you're missing, and hath forgotten that he was purged from the old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You need to know that you know that you know. And you need to stop playing in both worlds. Yeah, that's it. I've been wanting to do this illustration, but I'm too afraid I'm going to fall and break my neck. You take two ladders, and you put them and you butt them right up to each other. And you start climbing it. You understand? You put one foot on one ladder, one foot on the other. And for the first few rungs, everything's fine. One ladder's the world. The other one is God's plan for your life. And the problem is we want to play on both ladders. But the higher you go, the harder it is to keep a foot in each world. Very unstable your life becomes. And the higher you try to climb on either ladder and keep a foot in each one, and there's a time when you start jumping back and forth and you think, I'm making it. I can do this. I can play in the world and I can play in the church and I can play in the world and I can play in the church. But at some moment, God's going to move the ladder on you because he ain't going to let that happen for long. He's going to let you crash. Because you can't keep a foot in both worlds. You can't. The higher you go, at some point you're going to have to pick a side. And that's where God says, he says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's going to become evident which ladder you got your feet on. It's going to become evident. It's going to show. But if these things have been released into your life, it's because you've surrendered and said, God, I want it. I know whom I believed. I know, and Paul said, I am persuaded he's able. I know my faith is in the one I know. I'm growing in what he wants me to grow in. And I want him to release his goodness, his plan in my life. His plans are still better than anything else there is. Is your faith a faith that knows? What is your faith in? What are you clinging to? What is it that you believe is going to get you to heaven? If it's anything other than the blood of Christ, then your faith is in the wrong thing. You're standing on the wrong ladder. You need a faith that not only knows, but a faith that grows. You're saved and you know it. God wants to do even greater things if you'll let him. You need to be adding. But it has to start with that heart that says, God, if you'll teach me, I promise. I'm committing now. As you reveal things to me through your word, I'm going to put them into practice in my life. I want what you want. It needs to be a faith that grows. And the rest will take care of itself because it can't help but show. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, if there's one among us that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight, God, you would convince them of their need of a Savior. Convict them of their sin. And tonight, God, give them the courage to pray right now and ask Jesus to forgive them and to save them, believing he died and rose again for them. And for us, your children who already know you, God, tonight, let us take a moment and just recommit ourselves to a faith that's growing, to a future that's abounding. Yeah. Now, brothers and sisters, in the next few moments, won't you, in the silence, will you just take a second and speak to our Father? Ask him to guide you. Ask him to show you the areas of your life where it's not growing, where the weeds of this world have taken root and need to be pulled, where God wants to do a great and mighty thing. And as he reveals them to you, turn them to him. Now, my Father, as we have all taken a moment and spoken to you, Father, I pray that you would stir within us a deep desire, Father, to walk in step with you, to not hold back, to not stiffen our back to you, but to turn ourselves to you. And to allow you to release into our life everything you want us to be and to do for your glory. And Father, for your great kingdom and name's sake, realize it for all the world to see. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.